No.
Everyone drifted away from the Outlanders, leaving only Major Ward to watch them as they got the pump trolley out of the cobwebbed building, heaving it up onto the rails.
Wish I could come with you, folks. I'd like to see that stressor down in his own blood.
It'll happen. You got these people to get on the way to their own promised land. Won't be easy.
Just between you and me, son, I'm not heartbroken that Elder Vare ain't with us no more.
The Wagmaster smiled.
Know what you mean. But we gotta go.
Man's gotta do what a man's gotta do. Know what I mean?
Indeed I do, little lady. You go after that son of a bitch. Make him pay the price for his evil.
Ryan shook Ward's hand.
Partly that. But we're heading that direction anyway. See you, Major. You take care now.
With a little food and some fresh water, the six friends climbed aboard their flatbed wag. Only Major Seth Ward waved goodbye. The others were busy burying their dead. It was a little before noon when Ryan and the others began to move along the rails, pumping on the double handle that propelled the trolley. The sun beat down directly overhead with ferocious intent. It didn't take long to establish a good rhythm. The handles would accommodate two people on each side, leaning into them and riding the rise and fall. Ryan and JB took one side, while Jack and Christy started on the other. The speed began to pick up, and the wind tugged at their clothes. Mildred and Doc sat perched on the front of the trolley, enjoying the movement in the breeze.
Washes away the smell of blood, Doc.
I fear that nothing ever quite removes that oppressive stench.
Pale pink soapberry bushes flashed by, lining the banks of the winding creek. Ahead of them, the locomotive had vanished in among the hills, though they could still catch a glimpse of its pillaring smoke now and again. JB pushed his fedora to the back of his head. Sweat trickled down his narrow cheeks.
This is going to get one hell of a lot harder if we have to start pumping away up a grade.
Major's map shows it near another river.
Heading which way?
Christie's flaming red hair streamed out behind her like a crimson veil.
South. Land's shifted since before the long winters. Cuts toward where we want to go, toward Big Bend and the Grandee.
Jack had been working with grim intent, the snowy wraith of his hair flowing around his lean shoulders.
Chilstrasse, then go south.
Couldn't have put it better myself.
JB's concern soon became real. As they neared the far side of the open plateau, Salvation only a vague smudge on the distant horizon, it became obvious that the rails were already beginning to climb into the foothills. They crossed the narrow creek over a crumbling trestle bridge that sang and hummed beneath the clattering wheels. The relic of a spur line wound away to the north. The wooden sleepers rotted into the dry earth. It occurred to Ryan that the speed they were moving at on a brakeless vehicle could leave them vulnerable to any kind of sabotage of the mainline track.
Train?
Yeah, Jack. Could mean he's reached the ville up there.
Sounded high.
Ryan eased off a moment, wiping sweat from his eyes, viewing the contours ahead of them, seeing that the rails were climbing and twisting.
Let's try three aside. Get as far as we can.
The going became harder and harder, the handles seeming to move slower and slower.
He won't expect us to be trying to follow him, will he? This trolley was partly hidden, and there wouldn't be any other way we could get close.
Ryan didn't waste any breath on words, contenting himself with simply nodding. It was something that had featured large in his tactical planning. If Strasser had suspected he was being pursued, then he could simply have reversed the direction of the locomotive again and turned hunters into hunted. By the time they reached the crown of the first shallow bend, their speed had fallen away from near 30 miles an hour to something less than 10 miles an hour, and it was taking all of the energy of all six of them to even maintain that.
Can't go much farther. Soon be quicker to walk.
The ascent became even steeper.
All right. Party's over.
Christy was right, and they all hopped off the trolley. Nobody bothered to try to hold it, and it rattled ponderously away from them, gathering speed as it vanished round the bend.
Should make it halfway back to Salvation.
Doc slumped down against a moss-crusted pile of railroad ballast.
Upon my soul. When I was filled with the warm sap of youth, I would hike many a mile across the wilderness trails. Now, in my seer days, I confess to feeling more than somewhat buggered.
You fit to go on, Doc? I want to get after Strasser as quick as we can.
I shall not let the side down, Ryan. I hope you can rely upon me for that.
Ryan patted Doc on the shoulder.
Of course I know it.
Jack was eager to go, leading the party along the side of the iron road, his eyes raking the hills ahead and above for any sign of a potential ambush. The cliffs closed in on either side of the tracks, dotted with sparse clumps of pine trees. A couple of times in the next half hour, they spotted small groups of goats picking their way along invisible trails. JB moved alongside Ryan, walking step for step.
What happens when we get up there? We going to go for Strasser no matter what?
Depends. Don't know if he'll stay in this ville. Knowing Strasser, he'll likely run and keep running. Bastard's not stupid. He knows he's lost so many that he can't guarantee to take us out.
The armorer shook his head.
Maybe right, Ryan. But you never know when a rabid dog will turn and snap at you.
The middle of the afternoon drew near, the sun vanishing behind banks of dark purple cloud that threatened a chemstorm come evening. The long bends had become steeper and sharper, finally leveling out between tree-covered slopes. Ahead, Ryan could make out the shallow notch where the lines ran toward Strasser's hiding place. Once they'd startled a group of marmots, gambling together in a sunny clearing, and they could hear the thunderous sound of fast-running water. Jack pointed a quarter mile ahead of them.
Bridge!
The bridge was immensely high, made from weathered timber and cross-laced with steel and wire. There was no handrail, and only a narrow walkway on the right-hand side, less than a yard away. Beyond the gorge, they could see the scattered buildings of the ville, with the train standing there, smoke trickling from the gleaming stack.
There the villain hides. That is truly a perilous drop.
Doc peered down over the rickety trail.
500, maybe 600 feet.
I'm amazed that heavy loco wagon all the coaches made it across. You can feel it shaking under your boots.
The river tumbled and pounded its way over saw-toothed rocks, throwing up a shimmering rainbow veil of spray. Far below, on the western bank, they could just make out a narrow road, worming its way toward the south.
If that was navigable, we could take it down toward the Grandee.
Whitewater rafting was popular among some of the thin-lipped fellows who worked on Over Project Whisper. Said it made their blood race. I admit that it never occurred to me that anything other than ice coursed through their veins.
Doc's words made everyone lean cautiously on the rail and stare into the sounding deeps of the gorge. To Ryan, the idea of taking any sort of water wag over those foaming rocks smacked of total and utter insanity.
What next?
Jack turned away and looked toward the distant ville.
Fuck.
What is it, Jack?
Light off glass. Some bastard's watching.
Ryan looked around at the darkening sky.
That'll be Strasser. He'll be surprised if he sees it's us.
How do we get in at him?
Ryan turned from the hypnotic attraction of the distant river and looked along the narrowing rails that arrow deep into the heart of the township. His guess put it at around 2.5 miles, with the valley close in on either side. The trees would give them plenty of cover if they wanted to try to attack Strasser in his headquarters. Ryan suddenly felt the movement of the high wooden trestles trembling beneath his feet.
I think I got an idea.
What do you see, Rafe?
Strasser's lieutenant laid down his nunchakus and took the high-powered glasses from his boss's hand. He focused them where Strasser pointed, beyond the locomotive, toward the distant shimmering skeleton of the bridge. The clouds were sailing lower, and the light wasn't as good as it had been.
Maybe people.
Maybe?
Yeah, people. 4, 6, 8. No more Nate, boss.
You make any of them?
Hell no, not at this distance.
Strasser snatched the glass back.
By dog nuts and stick and snatch, it must be Carter. But how did he get this far this fast? Horse wouldn't have done it for him.
Maybe he's a witch.
Rosa sat in a broken chair on the porch of the old house.
Sure, Rosa, sure. They're witches. And they flew up here on white rats.
The tip of the quirt slashed down on the arm of the chair, missing Rosa's wrist by a scant inch.
Oh, sorry, Court, sorry. Please don't.
Still more of us than them, boss.
That's true. But we lost us 20 or more to one eye. We killed some of those peasants, but not any of them.
They're just coming in straight along the rails. They got a lot of nerve, no?
Strasser watched for a few minutes, biting his twisted lip.
No good trail off either side, is there? So, if we took them by surprise, we could...